Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're very welcome along. It is this week's episode of Who You Got, brought to you by the A-Team. Hello, everybody. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Ger?
Where is everybody? Oh, they're at the game. All right, they didn't invite us. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we're back here in the studio while it's all happening in League of Ireland.
Someone has to hold the house down.
Pretty much a throwback to last season, Ger.
Yeah, which I think all of us had a very successful season last year, comparatively, right?
Oh, well, certainly from yours truly, yeah. Chalk and cheese this season. And
Well, Kathleen won the Euros. You won the actual season.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not. I finished above Nathan. That was all I cared about. There might be a league table currently in existence, but we don't need to see that, do we?
No, I don't think we need to talk about it, personally.
Definitely not, ever.
Maybe just for the statistical rigorousness of the competition, we should have a look at it if we can. These are last week's results. Oh, great week, yeah. Top of the table there. Me, Mick,
zero.
Phil, Owen, 2. Cullum, 0. Kathleen in the middle on 1. Way better than Colm. I've taken to just predicting results that I want to happen and something outrageous, and it seems
you've always predicted the outrageous ones, though, in fairness.
You see your
results go in, and like yours are always the most entertaining out of the lot.
Do we think Spurs with 9 men would beat so that was last week, and it leaves things on the league table looking a little bit like this. I think, do we have a situation where somebody's running away with it? That was last week's again, sorry, yeah.
I do believe Will is running away a little bit at the top.
It feels a little bit like there is something bad happening. Our fixtures this week, Spurs United, Man City, Newcastle, Leicester, Arsenal and Arsenal Spurs. So at the top there, 58 points on Will, Mick on 53, John's 51, Nathan and Owen are 49, Shane on 48, Kathleen 46, me on 44, Phil on 42, and Cullum at the bottom.
Paddy last. And not even, that's a fail in school. 40% is a pass.
Not anymore.
It's done as a general. That's good for me.
They've dumbed down.
It's good for me.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I actually don't know. I'm making it up.
It's nice to prop something up, you know, to prop up a table. There's a lot of responsibility on someone to prop something up.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. Like,
it's on your shoulders.
You know,
the whole thing.
Life is full of extremes. You know what I mean? 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. I think Frank Sinatra sang about it. And I'd rather feel both. I'd rather feel alive.
Do you think you'll be riding high in April?
I might, and then I'll be shot down in May.
If you can have a good April, there's room for you to come back here. You get 3 points for a correct result. We pick 4 results every week. You have a 12-point week. Boom, back in the hunt.
I have metaphorically hit the post several times this season. And I've noticed as well, like a lot of score lines are throwing people. And maybe it's to do with the schedule, but there are a lot of unpredictable results occurring this season.
We have also had a charity bet with our betting partners, William Hill, where it's just been outrageously poor. It's like, you know, the one of those little machines that just presses the button would have picked the correct score more often than our team of highly sophisticated, intelligent, sentient beings.
Yeah, I mean, of recent years, this is probably the most difficult Premier League season to predict in terms of City or rubbish.
Should have just backed against
Forest
every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up. Arsenal, you never know what they're going to do. United, you don't really know what they're going to do. Liverpool, you pretty much guarantee will do well.
It's true.
Unless they're playing Everton during the week.
Liverpool almost wobble free at this stage. And you would have had value for money from your bet. You could easily have cashed out if you'd backed Liverpool to win during the week. So let's get into our first game. It's Spurs, Manchester United. Lee Phelps is going to give us our charity bet in a moment. So we're going to predict this. And it is Spurs almost friendless apart. Oh, no. It's okay, so I've predicted a Spurs win. Kathleen's predicted a Spurs win. Nathan's predicted a Spurs win. Spurs are at home. Manchester United are away. Colm's gone for a 3-2 win in a classic. And then there's 3-1s. Another 3-2 from Shane. A 2-1 win. All the Man United. All the Man United fans and all of the people who don't really like Man United have also predicted Man United wins. Mick's gone for a 2-0 win for them. So, Kathleen, why do you, like me, think Spurs will win?
This is very much one of those games where I could have closed my eyes and pointed at a screen that had loads of different results on it and I would have been as happy with what I had picked. I think both teams have been so flaky this season. And neither have really showed any sort of character, any sort of personality apart from that flakiness. I think United are maybe just on a slightly more downward trend at the moment, which is why I've given it to Spurs. But I also don't think it's going to be the sort of game that one runs away with. I think it'll be who manages to take their opportunity best in the moment rather than a show of extreme skill.
Yeah, I mean, they are right beside each other on the table, 13th and 14th. Man United have 29 points. Spurs have 27 points. Spurs have more points after 10 games under Ange in his first season than they have now after 24. That is a precipitous fall. And also Spurs this week, of course, have the added impetus of Roy Keane giving out about James Maddison.
Yeah.
Will his teammates rally around James Maddison?
Poor James, like, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough when you're the subject of something like that. And James would have to be tough, but like, he could have been going about his own business, and then he sees this scathing review of James Maddison, the character and footballer. I, for one, love James Maddison. I think he's an outstanding footballer, but he's within this chaos of Spurs, so he's hard to break through to the other side. I would absolutely fall in line with Kathleen there. If you had come to me first, I would have said the exact same thing as you just said there, which is like...
But you went for Man United to win.
I'll tell you why. Because there is three possibilities for every game of football, Jar. Of a result, right?
I know that, yeah. A win, a lose, or a draw for one team.
Yeah.
Or a win, a lose, or a draw for the other one.
You get me, yeah. Right.
Technically, it's four. You could abandon the match.
This was...
An asteroid hits.
This was...
Puts us all out of our
so
misery.
Ridiculously unpredictable that they're just two ill teams. They're sick, like, they are sick people. And sometimes when you're sick, you have good days and bad. And that's Spurs and Man United at the same time. Funny enough, do you remember what happened in the reverse fixture earlier this season?
Remind me.
Old Trafford, September 2024, Manchester United 0, Tottenham Hotspur 3. And in that game, Bruno Fernandes got sent off shortly before half-time.
Oh yeah, you were all complaining. He shouldn't have been sent off. Yeah. He's off his feet.
And then Spurs ran away with it in the second half, particularly the first quarter of the second half where they obliterated United. And Spurs were getting plenty of plaudits at the time and United were in crisis. And now they've regressed to the mean of each other, which is the mean of chaos and crisis. United haven't won this game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium since October 2021, when it looked like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was about to lose his job. But then Edison Cavani and Cristiano Ronaldo played up front together.
Wow.
And they did damage. Cavani. And they won that game 3-0.
Is Cavani still a warm body that Arsenal could hire from the scrap heap?
And it's his birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah. 36?
38. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's
I'd run the risk of 36-year-old Cavani.
It was like a combined age of 70 ripped Spurs apart 4 years ago. And I'll just go for United because they're just slightly better than Spurs at the moment. Like, Ange Postecoglou is a broken individual. Saw it the last time in the press conference afterwards where he was basically just like, just give me a break to the media. It was like, what do you want from me? What do you want me to tell you? The players are trying their best. There's a pile of injuries. They're putting together this team and they can't cope with it.
Brennan Johnson, Vicario, Destiny Adoghi, James Maddison and Wilson Odobert all apparently available to be in the squad this weekend. Not that they're going to start, but they will be available for selection. Solanke, Romero, Dragosin, Richarlison, Timo Werner all out. Apparently Mickey van de Ven has not re-injured himself, but you know, wait until the game kicks off to actually see that. United obviously without Lisandro Martinez, Luke Shaw, Mason Mount, Johnny Evans is a doubt, but you know.
Even the line "Johnny Evans is a doubt," it's just like that should not be the stage Manchester United are at this point.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be waiting to rely on Johnny Evans.
It should be. It's a doubt if you sign a new contract as a coach at United. It should be the most realistic sentence. But yeah, I mean, they signed him as an emergency cover, and he ended up being one of their best defenders for a period of time. Like, it is the chaotic derby, and I just trust United very, very slightly more than Spurs, which is the most damning indictment of Tottenham, by the way.
I think Spurs getting some players back into this, and I think Spurs are going to win. What does Lee Phelps think? Lee, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Are you?
Well, we haven't won a bet in a while. I don't know. I haven't been around. I'm not saying that one begets the other, but I'm a little bit concerned. We're being advised by the team to pick over 3.5 goals in this game. Personally, I think that's madness.
Oh, really? No. Well, I mean, if you look at the head-to-head between these two, 8 of the last 10 have seen at least 3 goals. So that would give you the over 2.5, which is a little bit short for our charity bet. But over 3.5 is 11 to 10, so it's just a touch of odds against. I can see it. I mean, I think both are capable of scoring and both are more than capable of letting them in. So I don't mind the over 3.5, if I'm being honest. I mean, it's a crazy game, isn't it? Because who would have thought when we started this season that these two teams would be this far down the table playing each other mid-February? I mean, this is a big if, but if Everton and West Ham were to win their games on Saturday, these two would be 15th and 16th when they play each other. So, yeah, it's a mad one, really. I mean, Ange Postecoglou, like you say, he's under a lot of pressure. He's the odds-on favourite to be the next Premier League manager to lose his job. Not a market everyone likes, but it's out there. And it kind of, every time they have a bad result, he keeps getting shorter in that market. I think I'd be probably just, if I had to pick a win, I'd be favouring Manchester United, I think, because they're better away from home than they are at home. They seem to struggle at home, Man United, but away from home, obviously, they had the good result against Liverpool, the draw, obviously, great result against City as well. Spurs, the last time they won in the league at home, I was looking back, 3rd of November. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. So I'd probably just about go with Manchester United, but it's, you know, it's tight, and you know the draw's probably it probably is a big play, isn't it? Because you know you have to look at them and think to yourself, you know, as you guys said, there's so much that you could look at this and think, are either of them actually good enough to beat each other, and would both settle for a point at the end of it? Spurs are 29-20. The draw is 27-10, which is just as obviously a shade under 3-1, and Man United are 13-8. I think if you're betting on the outrights, though, bearing in mind what you guys are saying about the goals, the match result and both teams to score, the score draw at 16-5 looks a decent way in. Man United to win and both teams to score is 3-1, and Tottenham to win and both teams to score is 14-5. I've actually got a bet builder, you know, but I'll come on to that in a bit.
This is one of those games where literally every price that you've said there, I can talk myself into. I'm like, one all draw, I can see that, and then you're under 2.5 goals. 2 all draw, I can also see a bit of chaos. But to the point where Colin's gone 3-2, and it is, you can see it being one of those games where there's two mistakes. Some team is 2-1 up, heading into stoppage time, like Man City in the middle of the week, and their defense falls apart once, and they fall apart again, and you're like, oh, you would not be surprised whatsoever.
There's one outcome I'd be surprised about. Everyone, Lee, can you give me the odds on Tottenham Hotspur 0, Manchester United 0?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. 18-1. Yeah, 18-1. It's a big price, isn't it, for a 0-0 draw? It would be a massive surprise, wouldn't it? I just don't see it. I mean, sometimes when you think about your things, you think, well, I just can't see a 0-0. Obviously means, you know, it probably will happen now. But, yeah, it seems really unlikely. You don't get that many full stop these days, do you, really? So
They seem to have died out, really. Nil alls,
generally.
Yeah,
is that statistically true or the vibe?
I'll do the stats for next week. I'll find out how many there've been this season. Maybe it's, but you're right. You don't see that many. There's such a lot of great goal scoring ability in the Premier League. And you look at you know when I look down the list of games on for instance on Saturday, the Premier League games on Saturday, I was looking down earlier on at possible Acker, and there's just results everywhere. You don't look at that many and think, yeah, I think that'll be a boring game. There's just like, there's so many decent players. I was crowbarring that in because I'm contractually obliged to mention that. It's a freemium weekend with William Hill. So on the Saturday, that means every Friday, Saturday, Sunday throughout February, there are free bets or free spins to get online if you opt in, once you've logged in. And on the Saturday, it's an Acker. So if anyone logs in on the Saturday fixtures as an Acker, I was looking down to see what I could find. There's a few decent favourites there. But yeah, I don't see many nil-nils on Saturday either, to be honest with you. I think there's some really, really interesting game. Man City at home to Newcastle could be an absolute cracker. I like Leicester at home to Arsenal as well, with Arsenal striking woes. Villa at home to Ipswich. There's a few interesting matches on the Saturday. But this Spurs Man United one has got so much intrigue for me. Like I said, I've got a bet builder. The freemium weekend is based around a bet builder on Sunday. What I've gone for, I've left goals out of it for mine, but you could easily add in over 2.5 into this or over 3.5 if you wanted to. I've gone for Son to either score or assist. He's the leading assister, if that's a word even, for Tottenham now with 68. He's had 7 assists this season. Not a fantastic season for Son, in my opinion. He also scored against United in the 2-2 draw last season. I'm going to go for the same bet for Amad Diallo. That's to score or assist in the match. He's had more goals and more assists than any other Man United player in the league this season, 6 of each. I'm going for Pedro Porro to make over 2 tackles. He made 6 at Brentford in Spurs' last league game and 5 at Villa in the Cup on last Sunday. And I'm going to go for Bruno Fernandes to be booked. You mentioned that red card, but also been booked in 2 of his last 3 appearances against Tottenham as well in all competitions. So those 4, you get, they're 18-1, those 4. And then if you can use your 25% bet builder winnings boost to bump it up with the 25% on top of the 18-1. You need 3-1, 3 or more picks and a €20 max stake on that one. And you've got impact sub as well on that. So if your player that you back goes off, if Diallo goes off and he hasn't scored or assisted and a sub comes on and does that, then your bet carries on to that. But that's what I'm going to go for. But over 3.5, match goals, charity bet, 11-10, I'm confident.
All right. I like the sound of the draw at nearly 3-1 personally. Yeah, though I predicted a Spurs victory, that was just to try and see what everybody else is saying.
With that though, I mean, given what we said about the 0-0, you'd have to go score draw. I mean, I don't honestly think there's any point in backing just the draw. Mm. And if you go score draw, you're getting over 3-1, 16-5. So I think so that's match result and both teams to score effectively gives you 1-1, 2-2, 3-3. 4-4, any of those scores.
None of us actually 3 predicted a draw, but why don't we make an executive decision and try and no, yeah?
A 4-all is actually a sensible prediction.
Well, I'm just looking to see what 4-all is. Hopefully it's bigger than the 0-0. Yeah. 9-0, 90-1 for 4-4.
Are we just doing what we were told to do like good little kids, or are we actually going to be a little bit rebellious and go for the draw?
I say go for a draw.
Okay.
Go for a draw.
A score draw.
Score draw. Yeah.
So, Lee, we're changing our bet. I don't know. I hope this doesn't derange your afternoon too much, but...
Fine. 16-5. Score draw.
Okay.
Much better bet. Lee, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
It's Lee Phelps there with us every week here on Who You Got. Hopefully guiding us to some money for our chosen charity.
The 28th of December 2014 was the last stalemate between these two sides when Louis van Gaal was in charge. That was at White Hart Lane.
2014?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should have told us that just before we made the bet. So it'll be the first time in over 11
nil,
years.
Nil-nil.
Oh, nil-nil. It's been a draw.
Yeah.
Okay, sailmate. Okay, I erroneously interpreted your cliche.
No. Nil-nil.
What Man United team is going to play?
Availability-wise? Or what do you think? I don't remember the last time they played. So Hoyland's a bit out of favour at the moment. He doesn't have enough trust in Zerski. Who am I forgetting there that could play up front? He played Kobbie Mainoo was the furthest forward in a recent game. And obviously Marcus Rashford is gone.
Gonski.
Yeah. Probably play Hoyland. Probably.
The predicted Spurs lineup from one of the Spurs fans' website is Danzo, Davies, Udogi, Spence back 4, Sarr and Bissouma behind Maddison, Kulusevski, Tell and Son with Vicario back in goals. That's a good team. And they've got subs there of Gray and Porro if they aren't coming. And Brennan Johnson's going to be on the bench. That's not a bad side. No, it's a totally side bereft of confidence.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I don't know, how much can Postecoglou actually inspire the Spurs team at the moment? You know, he is very much on the defensive whenever you listen to him in press conferences. We haven't seen him do anything particularly inspiring with the team that is there. You know.
Good points. Yeah.
Do you need someone like Son to just go on a magical run of form and suddenly decide that he wants to be...
And he just missed that sitter against Villa.
Yeah.
Which... I think could have had a transformative impact on their season if they come away from that game with a win. Obviously, that would have been an equaliser, but They've definitely had a little bit of something on Villa, I think, and have had in big games. So this game is live, by the way, and Off the Ball on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. Spurs versus Man United. Jonathan Higgins and Vinny Perth on duty. Liverpool Wolves is our earlier game with Nathan and Seamus Keneally on duty for that one. And then, of course, we'll obviously be back and forth to the Aviva all afternoon for the history-making largest viewed game in League of Ireland history.
One last thing on Tottenham is Matthias Tell has not been dragged into the chaos of the club yet because he's brand spanking new and he scored against Villa in the Cup late on when there was a bit of a surgeon. So he can blossom up while all the other flowers are dying around him. It was Kobbie Mainoo who started up front against Crystal Palace. I was trying to remember the last time, because last time was Leicester in the Cup, but before that was Lee against Palace at home. And as Lee already pointed out, Old Trafford and Man United do not get along this season at all. They're slightly better off here. It'll probably be Hoyland with Ahmad supporting one side, maybe Garnacho on the other, but like, it is hard to have faith in that United front line, whoever they pick at the moment. Spurs should be better on paper at the moment. They're leaving out the likes of Yves Bissouma. Like, he's not getting this game.
Well, sorry, he is expected now because he has been back just recently, and they're putting him in the team. So, look, remember, he was the best midfielder in the world, and what a great signing that was for about 2 weeks. First season he signed. De Ligt, Maguire, Yarrow, Dorgu, Dalo, Fernandez, Ugarte, Garnacho, Ahmad, and Xerxes. They predicted the 11 from TalkSport this morning. So they are saying that, like, it's Xerxes or Hoyland. Who you got? Neither, thanks. okay, there must be some kids. There must be a 16-year-old. Like, it turns out Ireland have a lot of amazing 16-year-olds.
You would think.
Okay, on to Man City versus Newcastle. Very difficult to predict this. Colm has gone for City. John has gone for City. Shane has gone for City. They're all 2-1s. Mm-hmm. Owen has gone for Newcastle. Mick has gone for Newcastle. Nathan's gone for Newcastle. Myself and Kathleen have gone for draws. I've gone 2-2. You've gone 1-1.
I think the fact that everyone's results or scores in this game is basically just a variation on the other says a lot. Like, it's all 2-1, 1-1, 2-2. Again, this feels like another game very similar to United and Spurs, where it's not necessarily the chaos. Like, I think, yes, City have been chaotic this season, but more so that Newcastle could do the job against them, and it wouldn't be all that surprising. But also, it's still hard to get rid of that ghost of, like, that City team, what their potential is, what they have shown their potential to be. And it's been hard this season to bet against them, even though it actually has been the safe bet.
Profitable, yeah.
I have one for you, right? Newcastle haven't scored in their last 7 games at the Etihad. They've lost their last 15 games there. This is a Manchester City fixture. However, what's the difference between the last 7 games for Newcastle at the Etihad and this season at the Etihad?
They're ahead of them on the table.
And we've never seen this version of Pep Guardiola and Man City, who are...
They're not ahead of them on the table.
What are they? A high-octane Spurs, I would say, City.
They're level on points.
They're leaky as... But the thing about City is, in pretty much...
Same goal difference. They're behind on goals scored.
Every game that they've played this season, and ones that they've drawn or lost, they've at least been a threat at some point in every game. Man City. Yeah, at least. So, like, the Real Madrid game there during the week...
Yeah, but that's not the problem with City this season. It's the leakiness.
They did get spanked a couple of times.
Yeah, but every game they threaten at some point.
Before they fold their tent and they
get spanked. They have that other side where they just... There is a mentality block there. But they have such a kind record against Newcastle in recent history that...
You think this is a get-right fixture?
But I think Newcastle will score and break that duck of the last 7 games, but that Man City was through it. Newcastle were so consistently brilliant up until that recent Bournemouth game, that Saturday lunchtime game a few weeks ago where they got routed. And then they lost again in the Premier League afterwards. I was like, oh, that's slightly different because they were playing at this remarkable level of consistency, Newcastle. And until they lost one, I was like, well, we'll see the real Newcastle here. I just have Man City ahead of them.
I've yet to read or hear like a really comprehensive look at actually what has gone wrong for City this season. I know, like you say there about them being mentally frail. Obviously, they have certain injuries that were fairly crucial to them. But it doesn't feel like in the way that Mick will say that Owen and I always complain about Arsenal injuries. It doesn't feel like City are necessarily complaining about the injury side of things. Well, there's almost just like a shrug the shoulders, throw up the hands, being like, this is happening to us.
I think it's been overdue. I think this has been a couple of seasons coming because we've seen it in other campaigns in the recent past where City start slowly, but they get their act together. And I always have faith that they will eventually sort themselves out. But we're in February now and it's probably not going to happen. And now, he definitely cut the demeanour, Pep Guardiola, after the Real Madrid defeat during the week, of a guy who just wants the season to end. This has just been such a nightmare from top to bottom. And a lot of their core players are ageing. They've been there a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that, we were talking on the breakfast show during the week about the rejuvenation of the squad in January. This big outlay on the young centre-half, the young forward and the young midfielder who came in January. And that's possibly to rebuild for the future because... Who was their main signing in the summer? They re-signed Ilkay Gundogan. It's like, never go back. And then Kevin De Bruyne looks certain to be in a swan song campaign. Bernardo Silva's been itching to leave the club for the last couple of seasons. There's a lot of really core, important players, certainly in the attacking part of the field, feels like their days are numbered. And the squad just needs a rejuvenation. The question I have is, does Pep have the hunger to go again?
Well, they did spend that 200 million. We had Jonathan Wilson on breakfast. Started this week.
Yeah.
Time is a flat circle. Talking about, he's not entirely convinced about some of the signings, and they're certainly not immediate signings that are going straight in the team. You know, this isn't the arrival of Alisson and Virgil van Dijk straight in the team.
But he did put them straight in the team against Chelsea because he had to.
I wonder, did he have to? Because the injuries, obviously, the Rodri one is the one that everybody talks about, and it seems to have somehow sucked the entire... If there was a Faustian pact that this guy is the Tesseract or whatever, gone. Immediately, the whole mirage is over. But the rest of their injury list isn't that long. Oscar Bob has been out with a broken leg, and everybody raves about him. He apparently is the reason why they were comfortable letting Cole Palmer go. And... that's not a massively deep injury list, you know? This one player seems to be the only thing that matters, keeping them together.
I used to think that too. I was like, how is this one player? Like, surely he can get around it. But the fact is they don't have an adequate replacement for that one player, and they know that other teams know how to get to them now. They know that.
Yeah, but you don't get to where City have got to over the last couple of seasons, win everything that they've won, and it's all hinging on one player.
I thought the exact same, but it seems to be the case.
I actually don't think that's true. I think that there's a structural shift happening in world football where the Iraolas of the world are like, actually, you know what? You sit there and you have the possession all that you want. We've learned how to defend against that because we've watched it now for 15 years. Pep has been doing a version of this. So this tiki-taka into what he did at Bayern, into this, is essentially we have 15 years of data and evidence. And also at Barcelona, he had Leo Messi. And the Iraolas and other managers in the world are now looking at it going, we're just going to get people to run at you. Like big, strong dribblers who are going to be in the middle of the pitch, and your brilliant defensive structures are actually unable to deal with this enough times for us to get chances. And if our strikers are reasonable and slightly better than above the mean, we'll score. And all of a sudden, your control of the game, now you're chasing the game and something has happened. And so Rodri being there or not being there is very, very important. But it's not the only thing that's happened. There's a shift happening in world football, and the era of the possession team being the dominant force and the only way to play and to win over a long season is over.
Maybe, but this squad's been together so long. This is bound to happen, but it's just so spectacularly happened because it turns out this key cog is gone. I was arguing for the first third of the season that it can't be that simple. It just can't. There can't be one player gone and it all falls apart. Just can't happen.
So you're actually not arguing that. If you're saying the squad has aged, so that's another factor. The squad has aged at the same time. And okay, they didn't sign anybody in the summer of any significance, but they have added one player each year. They've added a first team player each year. Some Doko and Savinho, you would say, aren't first choice in all the games. Maybe Savinho is. But Gvardiol, his form disappeared. His form seems to have come back, actually.
Well, he's such a goal-scoring threat from defence. So they're going to have to play him.
He played well. And the other thing is, I think maybe we're overreacting to what happened at the end of the Real
Madrid
game. Madrid are genuinely one of the greatest teams.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's an overreaction, though, because it's not like it's a once-off.
But
yeah, it's been a consistent thing of form with them. Even look at that Arsenal game. Like, if you had said at the start of the season that Arsenal were going to hammer City in that way, everyone probably would have laughed. And even the day before, if you'd said that was going to happen, I don't think people would have...
Does the Arsenal game make any sense?
No.
From Arsenal's perspective, even?
No, not really. Like, even watching it, it was one of those moments where obviously it was enjoyable because you'd love to see beating your nearest rivals in the, well, not even nearest rivals, but I feel like there's been a whole thing between City and Arsenal over the last couple of seasons in terms of the
Arteta Guardiola
sort of situation.
He didn't need to be.
But no, nothing about it made sense. Like, even watching it, you were, as the goals kept going in, you were kind of like, we couldn't do this against West Ham, never mind City.
But City just kind of fell apart at the end when Ortega didn't even try to save Vinieri's finish. And then what's going on in goal with City? Because Ederson was back in goal against Real Madrid. Like, they're all over the place. The one thing that did strike me when he signs these three players in January, Pep, is like, Jurgen Klopp's farewell present to Liverpool was rejuvenating the midfield. So he he gets rid of the great midfield that they had, the Champions League and Premier League winning midfield, and he signs the new lads. And then 6 months later, he's like, I am done now. And I feel maybe Pep Guardiola feels this immense gratitude to...
He's just signed a new contract, though, to
Manchester City. I never trust contracts, ever. I never trust that people are going to stay. It's just the handy financial terms for him. But he's like, okay, I'll sort out the squad. I don't want to leave it in a mess. I don't want to do like Ferguson 2013. I want to leave you with something, and then I'll head away. I don't think we're going to see an awful lot more of Pep Guardiola.
I agree. I think this is we're at the end game at this stage. I don't think though that it's just Rodri. I think that it's a confluence of factors, massive improvement in opposition, people understanding what you do against them now, the aging squad, the rest of the squad. Like, you can't Ilkay Gundogan, they were happy enough to let him go because they felt he was washed. And he comes back and he's totally washed.
But he wanted to go now, in fairness. Gundogan knows, I want a new challenge after the treble. But also, sorry.
The XG in the Arsenal-Man City game was 1.3 to 0.8.
Okay, so yeah.
It's not really a 5-1.
Yeah, it was
freak. And so I don't think that's the same as the Real Madrid thing. I think, but it's just that the freaky results are happening against Man City. There's definitely a pattern there.
Mm.
And I don't know what the underlying cause of that is. Anyway,
Who's their captain as well? Like, the captain just left midway through the season on loan.
You're obsessed with Kyle Walker. He was
their captain and he was playing all the time, and then he was like, I'll just leave him on loan because it's that much of a mess.
I don't think Pep Guardiola cares who his captain is, because Pep is the captain. Pep is the big dog. He is the alpha. He walks in the room and everybody goes, oh, what's Pep going to say?
But sure, so was the biggest alpha in football was Fergie, and he said Roy Keane was the mirror of him on the pitch. You do need a captain. You do need someone to replicate your message out there.
Do you think Kyle Walker is actively explaining the shape and space and that do you think that these are the same people?
But Pep had the armband and he said, Kyle, you're my man. So exactly. why did he give it to Kyle?
Maybe to try and inspire,
because he was closest to him, like the monorail in Simpsons.
Maybe to inspire some last sting of a dying wasp at the end of his career to get something out of him. And also he's looking around going, why didn't he give it to Gundogan? Like, because Gundogan's washed.
Yeah,
you give it to 21-year-old Guardiola.
I would say one thing. We're talking about Manchester City an awful lot more this season than any other campaign.
It's far more interesting,
isn't it? It's like Liverpool. We don't talk about Liverpool that much this season because Liverpool are just really good. They're just really efficient. They're just really good.
It's boring.
The only thing you talk about is the contract with the three boys.
We should be talking more about them though.
I know.
What Slot has done.
I'm proud of that.
The iteration in play. So anyway, Newcastle. We didn't talk that much about this, and we've got to go. But. Any hope for Newcastle?
My justification was the recent record that they have at the Etihad, which is not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leicester Arsenal is next. Oh, Arsenal. What have we got? I've gone for a draw. Everybody else gone for an Arsenal win. I've gone for the nil-all here. I didn't realise that nil-alls don't happen anymore.
Yeah,
but there's going to be a nil-all between now and the end of the season, it's Leicester Arsenal.
Sorry, I think this is Kathleen and myself's duty here to turn this on you. Why'd you go for nil-all?
I was just about to ask.
Kai Havertz. No strikers.
Sure, everyone is.
But sure, like, you wouldn't rely on Kai Havertz even if he was on the pitch.
Leandro Trossard is going to be the starting striker for Arsenal this weekend.
Poor Kai Havertz, like, when he was there, nobody wanted him. Now he's gone, it was like, oh, Kai's gone, it's all over.
Ah, he's good.
I don't understand this, like, at all, the overreaction to losing Kai Havertz. Like, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. But it wasn't devastated around it. I don't think it's going to, like, compared to losing Saka, I think that had a massive impact. I think, like, when we lost Odegaard, that had a massive impact. Losing Kai Havertz isn't...
It's just that you're losing him after you've already lost Saka.
Yeah. And
Saka's back in April, I think.
This is still February.
Much football.
March, April.
So you have Trossard. Now, Raheem Sterling did play through the middle for Manchester City, but that's two clubs ago. That's a fair whack ago. And then the boy, Ethan Nieri's class, but he's, you know, he's our Michael Noonan, like.
17.
He's 17. So I deeply fear, I mean, Jesus, Evan Ferguson's probably thinking, if this only happened 3 weeks earlier.
But still, it's Leicester. Like, Everton hammered them.
I know.
This is where I want to go. What kind of a nil-all are you envisioning? That, like, Arsenal batter them and just can't score?
I think maybe there's, they come back off the plane from Dubai, a little bit kind of, they've had a good time, maybe too good a time. And they're like...
Sure, the Dubai trip last year was when they were rejuvenated and it was a turning point in the season.
Oh yeah, magical Dubai. I can just see Arsenal now firing blanks, it falling apart, and all the eggs are in the European basket. That's it. That's all. It's okay. No, I don't need to justify myself to you.
I think Leicester's a nice soft launch in this new
definitely
era.
A get-right game.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Leicester, absolute shoo-ins to go down.
Sorry, they should win 3-0, because everybody does, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Good thing that's what I predicted.
You could do with Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah.
Would you take current Van Nistelrooy?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah. At this stage, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What'd you go for?
3-0. I believe.
So, in this world, who's scoring? Is this going to be a job where they're sharing the goals? Like, Odegaard gets one, Rice gets a header, Gabriel gets another. Yeah, that is Arsenal, isn't it?
It's not like one particular person getting out. No, it's a couple of good free kicks or set plays.
The only season...
Something squirms in somewhere.
That a Premier League side has won the title without a striker was the year between Aguero and Haaland. 21-22, where there was no one player to score the goals. Kevin De Bruyne was their top scorer that season. He scored like 15. So it's just not done. Like, you need a goal scorer.
The odds on this: 17-2 for Leicester, 9-2 the draw, and 7-2 on is Arsenal. But back in odds on favourites away from home is your fast way to the poorhouse. This is a 12:30 kickoff Saturday morning.
There's not a reason, is it?
Yeah. Look, I'm obviously clearly trying to make up ground on the people ahead of me. So.
So again. You just randomly went for a
There's also an element of manifestation. So I'm not going to lie.
I just don't think, okay, and I'm going to absolutely screw myself by saying this, but a team that can lose with 4 goals to Everton, this Arsenal team, striker, no striker, goal scorer, no scorer, should be able to get a result.
David Moyes Everton is not your granddad's Everton. It's been a change. Okay, so our fixture is Arsenal and Spurs. In the WSL, the North London Derby. Will this sell out? Has it sold out?
It hasn't sold out yet, but it's close to it, I think. I mean, Arsenal and Spurs as well have always been very, very good about advertising these things. It's always a big event at the Emirates. Interesting seeing all the score lines there. I mean, you look at this draw, the first time that Spurs ever beat Arsenal was December 2023. And that was an absolutely massive result at the time, because this is a sort of fixture that Arsenal used to win like 10-0 against Spurs. So the club themselves have been on a bit of a journey, but also as much as the men's team are incredibly Spursy, so are the women's team. Every season you go in and they show a bit of potential and you're like, oh, they have the players. This is going to be finally the season where they actually show themselves to do something, be something, and then it gets to the stage and you're like, I know, they're just going to mess it up.
They're out of the cup, aren't they?
Yeah. They lost to Everton.
And they are the holders.
United are the holders,
yeah.
They got to the final.
Yes. So they lost 3-0 to Arsenal in the reverse fixture. And that was back in, when was that, November, I think. Has anything changed between the two sides since?
So, like, Arsenal have a new manager. Renee Sleggers has come in. She's now like the permanent manager. I mean, I had been saying for years at this stage that Edouard needed to go. He totally killed that team. He killed their any sort of sense of self, it felt. Like, they didn't have an identity as a football team, even though they had some of the best players in the world. You know, you had your Kenny McCabe, Alessio Russo, you had Beth Mead, you know, all these big names, and yet they just looked like a totally disjointed side. Whereas Sleggers has come in, even though she doesn't really have that much of a coaching past, she was assistant to Edouard. And there just is a different vibe around the team. You feel like players like Russo are finally starting to find a little bit of form. She seems to know what the side wants. So I think if you're looking at these two sides, Arsenal are the ones that are going in definitely in a better position, but still with something to prove.
They're 10 points off Chelsea at the top.
Yeah, Chelsea's season has just been remarkable. I mean, we always thought Emma Hayes was the best manager in the world and couldn't be beaten. And then Sonia Baumpastor has come in this season and basically broken every record that Emma Hayes set over the last 12 years. So, but as you were saying, a bit like with Klopp, Emma Hayes very much left that Chelsea team in a ideal place. And even the signings they've made this season in terms of Naomi Girma being one of the biggest record signings ever made in women's football, and also bringing Ciara Walsh back from Barcelona. You know, this Chelsea team is a juggernaut. It's prime Man City. Like, signing Naomi Girma is like signing the defensive version of Erling Haaland.
It's a good line. Have we seen a different version at all of Katie McCabe under new management?
Not madly so.
Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with her. Irish people are obsessed with her discipline at the moment.
Yeah, well, everyone's always been obsessed with Katie McCabe's discipline, and I suppose that sending off for shouting in a referee's face ignited it once again. I mean, Sleggers afterwards very much stood up for McCabe and said that, you know, she had to talk to her about what was said, and but also that it wasn't, not that it wasn't her fault, but she wasn't mad at the fact she got sent off. Whereas I feel like a lot of Irish people have kind of been waiting for this to happen. It's been building up for so long. We've seen it on an international scale. You've seen it at Arsenal as well, that, you know, it's one thing getting sent off for a dodgy tackle or whatever, but getting sent off for shouting in a referee's face, just stupid.
This week we had the squad announcement. Kenny McCabe still going to be captain under the new manager? There's no hint of anything changing?
No, not from what I've heard. Carla Ward was asked about her at the press conference after the squad announcement, and she was just very praiseworthy of her. She said, you know, she has been a leader in this team for the last couple of years. Well, not even the last couple of years, the last while anyways.
Decade, yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to play left back, though. That's like guaranteed.
Well, it was kind of entertaining in the press conference because the squad came out before Carla Ward came into the room. There was a little bit of confusion because Katie had been listed as a forward online, and then in the press release she was listed in the defence.
Right.
And Carla had said when she was first appointed that she was going to get this Ireland team playing a different formation, a different style. So everyone was like, "Oh, are we seeing it? Is this going to happen?" But it was just a mistake. She is listed as a defender.
I can't help but feel immense sympathy for Carla Ward. From the unveiling was absolutely dominated by the Colin Healy statements, like completely. Now, and it's almost damning with this. The following line is that, like, well, nobody blamed Carla Ward about this, but at the same time, no one's really talking about what Carla Ward's going to bring to the table because of the Colin Healy stuff. And then Denise O'Sullivan comes out and is critical of the FAI now, and it feels like, you know, they really need this Turkey game to come around quickly so that we properly start the new era, and then we have this tangible evidence of there's our new manager on the sideline, and this is the freshest era of the team, because at the moment there's that just toxicity again between the FAI and the teams under them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really intrigued to see what she does on the pitch, because I think there was disappointment is the wrong word, but there was almost a flatness to that squad announcement, because with all the retirements, the amount of injuries that are in the squad at the moment, you know, you're looking at maybe the guts of 8 or 9 players that are pretty much stalwarts in the squad that aren't available between those retirements and the injuries. And there wasn't really any change. There was nothing exciting to it, you know. you look at someone like Saoirse Noonan, who's scoring goals week in, week out for Celtic, and she's not there. And we don't really have anyone, now that Julianne's gone, we don't really have anyone who is that out-and-out goal scorer. Now, you can argue all you want about the Scottish League and how good or bad it is. But again, I don't know. You're just looking for that little bit of excitement, and I didn't quite get that from the squad, so... If she shows something against Turkey, that's fair enough. Maybe she's still getting to know the players. Yeah, she's only been in the job a couple of months.
Is the Turkey game is the UEFA Nations League game, so but we'll win that. We'll win all these games.
We should.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it would be a massive upset if we didn't win all the games.
So they've just announced today, Niamh Fahey, Diane Caldwell and Julianne Russell will be honoured at that game.
At halftime.
So it's this day week.
Yeah, half seven. Tala. Myself and Scarlett will be there for Off the Ball.
It's going to be ages before we can tell if she's any good, right?
Yeah.
Not any good, right? So you can see a well-coached side, but whether or not she's good enough to get us to qualify for a major tournament is all ultimately going to come down to a two-legged playoff against a superior, slightly superior side.
Yeah.
And whether or not we have...
And I also think there's more pressure on her compared to, say, like when Vera came in, because there is more eyes on the team now because of qualifying for that major tournament and because of the status of some of her players to help foster that underage element, the teams coming up. You know, the under-19 squad, it's going to be in with the senior squad along with a development squad over the next couple of weeks. And that's all been purposely organised so that they do align, so that Carla is able to go to those games to see people. Jess Fitzgerald and Katie Keane, who are both on the under-19s, they are going to be in with the senior squad specifically for the camp, just as, you know, as an experiential thing. They're not going to be, you know, part of any of the actual teams for games or anything. So I think the focus on that side is going to be massive, and also how much attention she pays to that. Now, just from listening to her, I think it's really interesting. She seems very interested in that underage setup. And even when we were talking about the Turkey game at the press conference earlier this week, she was talking about Turkey and Slovenia and their underage setups and the good players that are coming through there. So that is something that not only is she focused on in Ireland, I think she has a brilliant footballing brain. Yes, it's going to be a while before we see the tangible pitch. Can we qualify for tournaments? Can we get those big moments? But I think there are stepping stones along that path that we will see something interesting from her, which 100%. I wouldn't have expected from other managers.
Is there any more clarity on Aideen Gleeson's future?
No.
It was mad. Yeah. It was with Mark Hannum, said we're talking through it, but that was, and when he was asked to elaborate, he couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't talk about it. They said it was an internal issue.
Right.
All right.
TBC.
That's this week's Who You Got with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie. See you next week.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+. Gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.